Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on American Family Radio. Today's Monday, April the 7th. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed Battagliano. I'm Tim Wildman, Ed Battagliano, and Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good.
Joined us.
Hey.
Good morning, Brother Steve.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm well.
So yesterday.
Yes.
I'm not one to complain when I have aches and pains. I usually keep it to myself.
Right.
It's called manning up.
Absolutely.
It's not a sexist statement.
No.
It's a statement girls can use too. Girls do use it. I manned up. Nobody says I womaned up.
Right.
Who says that? But we all know what we mean, right?
You are on, on your own, sir.
Okay, am I digging a hole? So anyway, sitting there, I took my two six-year-old twin grandsons to the batting cages yesterday afternoon. I'm talking baseball here.
Sure. You know?
Talking base. Anyway, you know the song?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm throwing BP to them, you know, which is... They're at an age where they're learning how to spot the ball and hit the ball.
So, right.
You know, it's,
drive it.
Yeah, drive it. So I'm throwing it to them, you know. Did that for about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so at one sitting. Got up off a cushioned stool, and my back went out. Huh?
Oof.
And how did this happen? Why did this happen? I didn't do anything strenuous. You know what
no,
I'm
but
saying?
You did something once that you should have been doing every day.
Is that what happens?
Yes.
So I'm like going, man, I'm like, and that's, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm still slow.
And your grandson said, what's wrong, Pop?
They did. Yeah. What's wrong with you? I said, listen here. One day you'll be 62 too.
And if I could catch you,
I'd give you one. They were understanding. They didn't mock me or anything, but they did like go, what's going on?
Now, let me ask you this. When you're throwing batting practice, were you behind one of those little...
Even for a six-year-old.
Yeah. That ball can take you out.
Yes, sir.
A hard ball.
Yes, sir. Now, if you got quick... I've seen guys with quick...
Weflexes.
Yeah, weflexes like Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
And Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd.
So toss pitches and not be behind the screen?
Right.
But I'm just sitting there one ball after another. I don't have – there. If I try to move – I've been hit before. I've learned my lesson on that. I've shown you scars. Haven't I? Ball marks.
I'm just going to say yes so that you don't show me the scars after the show's over.
Well, they're not still here, but they were seams of baseballs on my arm. I mean, like an imprint.
Yeah.
Like somebody did a tattoo.
I have
remember this?
A discoloration on my ankle from I played third base for our softball team, and I got hit by a line drive, and it's still discolored. I'm talking 20 years ago. It's permanently discolored.
Steve, you got any? You got sports injuries? Steve?
I just had my both my knees have been operated on
amputated.
Because of no amputated. I just had shoulder surgery, you know, a couple months ago.
That's sports related?
Well, it was because it was a rotator cuff tear and some problems with the way that the bicep attached.
Yeah, I repeat, did your
sports injury?
Is it a sports injury?
And listen to this.
Did you man up?
I got it pitching batting practice.
There you go. Fist bump for you, sir.
To my son, when he was in Little League, he's now 33.
Yeah.
And that's how long I lived with a torn rotator cuff.
Ooh, that's, that's tough there.
That's manning up.
That's manning up.
There you go.
All right, Steve, who's manning up around the world?
I want to talk about something new, a trend that we're seeing, and it's alarming a little bit. The Federal Trade Commission in March identified imposter scams in which someone impersonates a loved one, colleague, or government official, and they demand money or they say that the loved one that they're imitating has been kidnapped, and what's the dire thing is that with AI, they can actually have the, in this, the story's case, it was the daughter, the daughter's voice saying, "Mama, I'm okay, but I need help. You need to do this. You need to do this." And she, and it sounds scared, and it was her daughter. Exactly her daughter. So she did, she did, she did. And then she calls, she gets this idea. She calls her daughter, who's sitting at home, having a great day. And it turns out that they were using AI to scam the mom. And the Federal Trade Commission says that this is costing nearly $3 billion last year, this kind of scams. And here's the thing that really is kind of scary. It takes 3 seconds of audio to clone a voice with 85% accuracy. 3 seconds.
It's a scam. Is that what you
said? It is a scam. But it, but how frightening when you hear your son or your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and it's their voice.
You don't know it's a scam at the time.
No, it's their voice, and you, all the fear, adrenaline starts going. You're not really, you don't think critically.
I've had my voice cloned before. I'm not kidding about this. And I'm just recently.
Yeah.
And it sounds exactly like me.
Uh-huh.
I heard a playback, and I was going to make fun of it.
Yeah.
I thought, no way can they replicate the voice of Ed Vitagliano.
That's right.
Well, you know what? They replicated it along with my, you know, remaining Boston accent. It is scary technology.
Yeah.
And it so unnerved me that I actually talked to my wife and my family, and I said, now, they made fun of me a little bit, but I said, we need to have a secret word, a code word, that if it's really me, you can ask for the code word, and I got to come up with it. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
It better not be pizza.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I mean, so,
Yeah. No.
And I didn't mean that as a stereotype, like an ethnic stereotype. I did not mean that that way.
Well,
it was just pizza.
Everybody, thank you for not meaning
it
that way. But that's the way I took it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hurt you.
But I'm going to man up.
Okay, you man up.
And I'm going to go right past it.
Tim, you know what this means.
What's this mean?
The next time you hear Ed working hard in his office, you better go check, because he might be at home watching a hockey game.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, you guys.
No, in all seriousness, the advancement of technology is going to cut both ways.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be a positive. They're talking about AI being used to treat cancer patients in the near future,
right,
with a high success rate. Mm-hmm. But it's also going to be used for the dark side of humanity.
Like so everything else.
It's a technology. That's all it is. Yep. It has no moral value in and of itself. It's how we use it. Yeah. It's and there are some wonderful things. One of the best uses that I've heard, I've talked to somebody who has an app that for small church pastors – they put their sermon into AI, and the sermon can divide it up into daily Bible studies that they send out to their
parishioners,
yeah,
congregation.
Or and it can devise an entire social media program and send out tweets and everything. And so, who has time? First of all, these small pastors don't have time for that.
Right.
Half of them don't know how to do, you know, that.
Be careful.
Well, I'd have a hard time trying to figure out a valid social media, you know.
But there might be somebody in the church who's young enough to know, okay, we can do this and we can multiply the impact.
Yeah, but you don't have to now.
Time and effort that.
It's called Pulpit AI, and it's a phenomenal thing. Okay. I talked to this guy several times.
Pulpit AI.
Pulpit AI.
Yeah. I like a video game.
Yeah.
Hey. You want to come over and play Pulpit AI?
Play some Pulpit AI?
Yeah. I bet I can beat you at that. Huh? Watch me score at Pulpit AI.
The deacon has just come online.
It's competing
against the deacons now.
It's a first-person game, but instead of being a shooter game, you shoot Romans Road at them, the four spiritual laws.
Sounds like a really fun game, guys.
All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. There's a new book out by two political scientists, Stephen Macedo and Francis Lee. And they both...
Stephen and Francis?
Stephen and Francis. They both describe themselves as left-leaning. But what they have come... This book is called In COVID's Wake, How Our Politics Failed Us. They are just now figuring out that the liberal policies that were put out weren't researched enough, were driven by partisanship and caused a lot of damage that we're still paying for. Things that people on the conservative side were saying since, I don't know, day zero, but they're now shocked. Well, we should have researched this more. It just is so disingenuous that they're coming out and saying, oh, we made a mistake.
So this is a study on...
It's a book based on a study.
Okay.
Authorities, public health authorities, mainstream media, and progressive elites often pushed pandemic measures without weighing their costs and benefits and ostracized people who expressed good faith disagreement. We face that. It became moralized, like we're not interested in looking how other people are responding to the pandemic because only bad people who would do it differently would do it in a different way from what we're doing it. So they say COVID is an amazing case study in groupthink. This assumes, I think, though, that people who were putting these, the liberals who were forwarding these policies, actually thought at the time that they were good policies. I don't believe that.
Well, and the fact is, it's not fully groupthink because there were substantial numbers of people, even in the health field and the medical field, who did not agree with the groupthink and tried to stand up but were vehemently shut down.
Note to Stephen and Francis, you were wrong about groupthink. I'll send that off to him.
it is a lesson in groupthink in terms of probably the vast majority of the elites in our country. Hardly any of them
and the
questioned.
Medical establishment. Yeah. They say the shutdowns had foreseeable and quantifiable costs, many of which we are still paying. Learning loss, school absenteeism soared. We went through inflation went through the roofs, lockdown, spending and stimulus payments increased inflation. And listen to this. In inflation-adjusted terms, the United States spent more on pandemic aid in 2020 than it spent on 2009 stimulus package and the New Deal in 1940s combined.
Wow.
Inflation-adjusted. The U.S. spent on the COVID pandemic they spent on war production in 1943.
Well, everybody got checks.
Yeah.
Federal government checks. During the pandemic, because everything was shut down. Everything was shut down. But still, it costs money. It's real money.
Yeah.
I will say this about the COVID experience that we all hope to forget soon.
Right. All right.
A lot of the groupthink in response to the COVID, that's what we call it down here, isn't it, Ed? The COVID. Okay, I'm going to sound like I'm making excuses for people. I'm not, because some of these people were sinister, and right. We know who they are now. But I think a lot of the, or at least the initial response was, it was a communicable disease, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
So what do Americans typically do? When we have a crisis, whatever the nature of the crisis is, we defer to the experts.
Right.
After we panic.
After we do a panic, and then we defer to the experts. So in this case, we were deferring to the medical experts, the scientists, and just assuming that they had the best interest of our country at heart and of citizens at heart. This is my own personal opinion, the vast majority of them did. But a lot of these folks they themselves were looking to agencies like the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. Is that what Fauci was over, Dr. Fauci?
Well, it was part of it. Yeah.
Infectious, part of the.
But anyway, so you had your doctors, family doctors, for example, they were looking to the CDC, and they were looking to the Dr. Fauci, for example, because before then, those agencies had been considered apolitical. Am I right?
Yes. Right.
So there was no suspicious. Most people weren't suspicious of those agencies having any particular political bent. And so that's why there was so much trust invested in them. So that trickled down. I remember.
I think this is fair. This is the fair take that you have. This
is fair. I remember, I was talking to, we were talking to a family doctor that we knew, and he was going like, yeah, well, going to wear a mask.
Right.
You should, probably should wear a mask.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Well, that's what the CDC says.
Yes.
And that's who we all look to for our guidance. Most of the medical professionals, because they weren't experts in that either.
Right.
Most people were experts in different given areas of medicine, but a heart doctor is not going to know about he is going to know about it, but he's not going to be an expert on infectious diseases.
He will defer to the experts.
Okay. So that spread throughout the whole medical community, including the hospitals and everybody. And then you couple that then with people who did have control freak problems.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So as the things went on, then we began to question, why are we doing these things?
Yes.
It's that point that when like these gentlemen here you're talking about,
yes.
when a couple months in, when people began to say, why again are we doing these things, and how long is this going to last, and how do we know this is the best response? And then you get to the
What about alternatives?
Yes, and then you get to the COVID vaccine response later on in the year.
Right.
Remember that? And then if you don't get the vaccine, you're killing people. Remember that?
Killing grandma.
But I just remember early on, this is how trusted these people were, and they lost their by these people. I'm talking about the CDC and those kind of folks. The trust is not there anymore with a lot of Americans. Because I remember my wife had it. She had a discussion with it was my mother-in-law with another family member, an extended family member, and they were talking about getting together for the holidays or whatever. And these are both conservative people, okay?
Yeah.
As conservative as you and I.
Right.
And one of them said to the other one, are we going to get together? I don't know. Should we, or should we not, because of the COVID, and should we wear, is anybody going to wear a mask? And then one said to the other, so you know better than the experts?
Right.
And so that was supposed to shut down the conversation. So you know better than the experts. So there was so much trust put in what the experts were saying. This is how you prevent this from spreading. Right. And it was causing arguments and fights, even in churches.
Yes.
Churches, people were saying, you wear a mask, you're submitting to control of the deep state.
Yes.
And other people were going, no, it's not. It just means I don't want to spread the virus. Yeah. Well, that doesn't keep you from spreading the virus. We didn't know at the time.
Right.
None of us knew enough to know, yes, it does or no, it doesn't.
Right.
But we did learn then that the virus was so tiny, so minuscule that a mask could not stop it.
Well, here's the thing that...
Except maybe an N95, maybe.
Maybe, but they didn't have N95s when you went into the doctor's office or wherever they wanted. And listen, this is what betrayed it from the very beginning for me. Whenever I wore a mask and glasses, my glasses fogged up.
Yeah.
And if my breath is able to get through a massive hole to fog up my glasses, then that's not doing anything to stop a virus.
Right.
And that's just logic. So from the very minute I put the first mask on, I said, this doesn't work.
Listen, some of the other consequences.
You're talking about the surgical mask?
Yeah, I'm talking about the white masks.
Which work in an already sterile environment. They're helpful in surgery, but not out, at Walmart.
But why didn't they say that? Why didn't they say that? So the minute Dr. Fauci lost credibility with people was when he said early on, talking about COVID spread. Remember that? He was said, what about masks? And he said, well, you can wear them if you want, makes you feel better, but they don't stop the spread of the disease. Then he came back 2 weeks later and said, oh, everybody mask up.
Yeah.
So everybody's going, which is it?
Yeah.
So they began to lose credibility. And then people like Joe Biden comes along and says, well, if you take the, if you take the COVID shot, keeps you from getting COVID.
And spreading it.
Well, neither one of those are true.
Right.
And then they didn't come, but nobody came back and said, boy, we were wrong on those.
Right.
Sorry about that, America, our world, go ahead.
This is a case where you can follow the money, I think, because there was big money in the vaccines, and they were putting pressure on public policy officials. And, for example, also.
Who was putting pressure?
the vaccine manufacturers.
Well, yeah, but they were told to.
Well,
they were told to. You get busy and you speed this thing up,
right?
Because we got to get
this
out to people.
But they didn't. They hid a lot of the dangers. And also, remember when we couldn't say ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, oh, we remember. Ed,
that's
say
because,
it, get us banned on YouTube.
That's
we remember it well.
Hydroxychloroquine and
ivermectin.
Hydroxychloroquine
and ivermectin.
Ivermectin, they were almost free.
Yes.
And so the people that were making the drugs that were supposed to treat the symptoms or COVID weren't making any money, and that's why I believe firmly that's why you were banned if you tried to use it.
I was going to also make mention of the fact when you were talking, Steve, about this book. We'll mention it again here. The name of it.
So you're commending the book, Steve, or you just saying?
No. I think it, what strikes me is that it's a little too late for them to say,
it's maybe too late to apologize.
Yeah.
As I've been trying to say for the last 15 minutes, I just want to toss this in just because one of the consequences of the lockdowns and all that went on was a lot of small business owners lost their businesses forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're getting a government check. It doesn't matter if things bounced back after COVID, the lockdowns and shutdowns. Their business, they went out of business forever with the losses related to that.
The military personnel?
Yeah, absolutely. Lost jobs. You did mention the education loss. A lot of young people had mental health issues because they were by themselves, away from their friends. And so anyway, this book right here is going to be amongst 10 years worth of research that's going to go on.
Yeah.
And we're going to look back at, just like I hope we do with the transgender insanity, we're going to look back and we're going to say,
what happened?
What happened to ordinarily sane people?
Yeah.
And remember they were saying it didn't, they were trying to convince us that this doesn't come from the Wuhan lab?
Yeah.
Yes.
As a,
no, from the market.
It came from the market.
Bats.
It didn't come from the lab.
Those same people tried to say it came from, it wasn't manufactured. It came from bats.
They knew at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why they lost credibility.
Yeah. By the way, okay, so the book is called In COVID's Wake, How Our Politics Failed Us. How, can I end with some good news from the medical front very quickly?
I don't know.
We need some good news. It's a Monday. We need some good news.
They're testing a new drug out. It's in this phase 2 clinical trials called Lepidisrian. And it is a pill that you can take that can wipe out 94% of harmful cholesterol with a single dose. They have yet to be able to figure out how to deal. There's no medicine to this point that deals with that. This is a large reason why people who are in their 50s that exercise are in good shape drop over from heart attacks.
Right.
Because it's a bad cholesterol. Well, this will wipe it out. 94% of harmful cholesterol.
Has this been tested?
It's in its...
It's Operation Warp Speed, no. Tim. There's no need to test this. Let's just get it out on the market, folks.
It's in its phase 2 trials right now.
I hope it works because I'm a daily pill taker.
Well, yeah. After 1 year, the patient's level were still 89% reduced.
What are the side effects? I don't want to hear about black oily discharge.
I know. I didn't have
numbness.
I didn't have enough paper to print them all out in our printer. So,
at the end of TV commercials.
Yeah.
Hey, this can help you greatly. Kill you.
May lose all feeling in your legs. But boy, your cholesterol will be great.
See a doctor before taking.
Yes. All right. We're looking forward to what's the name of it? The drug? Oh, it's too late.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.